believe in a God, even though I can see him, even when he is silent, I know he is there. I know if I wait on the Lord and will listen in a still small voice, he speaks to me here. I believe in a God and I know that I shall see him someday in heaven upon his great throne. I believe in a God and I know he is with me, will be with me here till I end my home. I believe that the sun, even when I can see it, is there when the clouds keep it hidden from view. I know it will shine once again in its splendor when the clouds break away and let it shine through. I believe in a God and I know that I shall see him someday in heaven upon his great throne. I believe in a God and I know he is with me, will be with me here till I enter my home. I believe in a love that is true and tender, for God in his love sent it down from above. I believe in a love even when I can feel it in this cold empty world where few know his love. I believe in a God and I know I shall see him someday in heaven upon his great throne. I believe in a God and I know he is with me, will be with me here till I enter my home. Will be with me here till I enter my home.
I got a new program today, so I have to make sure I do this right here. Anyway, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. You know, God is so good. Even in this cold weather, we have. I enjoy my fireplace, so that's really, really nice. We come home and have put another log on the fire. I think that's a country song. So that's so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, I want to put a scripture up there before I start my message. Matthew 5, verses 11, 12 out of the King James Version. It says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." What does this verse tell you? I really never looked at it that way, but this verse tells me when this has happened to you, you have definitely found Christ because you're different. That's why they persecute you. Falsely, obviously. And a lot of us have been down this road here, if not most of us, have lost friends simply because they didn't want what was in us. And that's the identifier. That's what separates Christianity from religion. It's not the same. Don't think for a second that Jesus came to start a new religion. He did not come to start a new religion. He came to have a relationship for whosoever. It's whosoever. The Old Testament was, if you will do this, then I will do that, was the law. That's how the law operated. If you do this, now it's Jesus saying, come unto me. This is the new part, the relationship. Jesus, we don't have to clean ourselves up and then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, and guess who will do the cleaning? If that didn't happen to you, you were never cleaned. Jesus does the cleaning, and once he does the cleaning, it's like when Peter had the vision. He was hungry, it said, and then the Lord gave him a vision three times. He says, Peter, get up and eat. And Peter said, no, Lord, I have never touched or eaten anything that's unclean. Jesus said to him, don't call it unclean what I have cleaned. And then this happened three times. So what does this mean even? What does that mean? It's talking about the Gentiles. That's us. We are not unclean. What God, Jesus has cleaned, call you not unclean. If you are blood bought, washed by the blood of the Lamb, you are clean. You will not be cleaned. Someday you are clean. It's past tense. The price was paid at the cross of Calvary for your sins forever. And I thank God he made it that easy. But if it would have been any harder, if there would have been one law, just like Adam and Eve had one law, we would screw that up. So thank God that he bypassed our ability to get into the kingdom and swore by himself that if we by faith believe in that, he will do something in our spirit that will change us forever, and then we will be seated in heavenly places. Anyway, before I get into my message here, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace, for opening our eyes. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that we will not be superficial servants of you, that just service have lip service, but that we will actually have heart transformation where we speak from our hearts the truth that you have revealed to us, and that it will become alive, and it is alive when it comes from our hearts because your spirit is involved, and that's the way and the road we want to take. So help us to understand how we ought to live our lives. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. The Lord gave me this message, I really did contend with the Lord. And I know right away when I start contending in the flesh about a certain scripture the Lord gives me, I immediately, that's too harsh, Lord, I cannot do that. But then, the argument was always in my mind, my heart was already settled on it, and I was thinking, maybe it's harsh, maybe it doesn't apply to anybody here at Reaching Out Ministries. My arguments went on and on why I shouldn't give this message. But it boils down to this for myself, and that is to be obedient. If I believe the Lord has shown me something to give, I will give regardless of if it hurts me or anybody else. I don't really care. It's not that I don't care. I can't afford to care because the truth matters more than our feelings. We are living in a world where feelings have taken the front center stage, basically. Feelings are the last things that you worry about. And I'm not saying be mean to one another. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm talking about when it comes to the truth, you can present the truth with grace. That is possible. But sometimes it has to get pretty harsh. So here is the message that I have. I studied it in the King James Version and absolutely drew a blank. It made no sense to me. But I still knew I had to give this message. I just couldn't understand the meaning and make sense of it. So I looked at a bunch of translations and came up with the New Living Translation, which Brandon will put up. And it starts in Isaiah 58. Basically, it's the whole chapter. That's what my message is going to be, because it's a message. It's loud and clear, God arguing with his people, the children of Israel then. It starts by saying, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the church or to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to hear from me or be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. And then God says, I will tell you why. Here's God's response. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap, cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. This is God speaking here again. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. Remove the chains that bind people. This is all about freedom. This is freedom here, Jesus, God is talking about. Share your food with the hungry. Giving, love. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. Do not hide from relatives who need your help. When your salvation will come, then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, he will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out of darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon, and the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you're dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with its delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with inheritance, the inheritance I promised to you and your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, I understand for us, Sabbath law doesn't apply. You know what Jesus said about Sabbath? We're under grace, not under the law. But here he's talking to the children of Israel. But apply this to your own heart, however it fits. However it works, apply it to your heart. This is what this message is about. So here is what God wants from each one of us. He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts to have him as our one and only God. When Israel went whoring after other gods, that's when God's judgment fell sharply on them and heavily. So that's why I stress, make sure you do not have anything dear, not even your own child. Remember when Jesus said, if you love mother, father, children, or son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. So that's all that is saying. If there is something more dear to you than Jesus, then you're not worthy of him. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't love your parents, by the way, or your kids or your children. That's not saying that. So we as a congregation can... So everything else is secondary and must take a back seat to him. And we here as a congregation can start a revival if we will all humble ourselves before God and truly let him have his way within our lives. So this is my prayer. In Galatians 1, I didn't give Brendan this verse. It's just simply a part of the verse. When it pleased God, that's where Paul is saying, who separated me from my mother's womb. He will come in his own way, and may he answer according to my sincerity. As servants of God, we must learn to make room for him, to give God elbow room. We plan and figure and predict that this or that will happen, but we forget to make room for God to come in as he chooses. Would we be surprised if God would come into our meeting or into our preaching in a way we had never expected him to come? Do not look for God to come in a particular way, but do look for him. The way to make room for him is to expect him to come, but not in a certain way. Don't put him in a box. This is how he's going to come. No matter how well we may know God, the great lesson to learn here is that he may break in at any moment. We tend to overlook this element of surprise, yet God never works in any other way. Suddenly, God meets our life when it pleased God. Give your life so constantly, keep your life so constantly in touch with God that his surprising power can break through at any point. Live in a constant state of expectancy and leave room for God to come in as he decides. This was insight from Oswald Chambers here. So it all starts right within each one of our hearts. Let our cries reach the throne of grace. Let's challenge ourselves. Let's provoke one another into hearing from and serving the living God with the help of our Savior, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and we can change Steinbeck one and Canada one little state at a time. Starting from ourselves, our homes, our schools, we can start. We can be incredible, strong salt to make a difference so judgment is stayed back. I was telling my wife and Brendan this morning about Jonah, the story of Jonah. If we obey God, we can be salt and even avoid accidents around us. Good things will happen even to people that are around us because we're strong salt. But if we become like Jonah and disobedient to his message, we bring even the people into trouble that are around us. Remember, the ship went down and they refused. They had to do cast a lot to find out who the culprit is, and it turned out it was Jonah. And when they threw him overboard, everything calmed down. Let us not be that. But let us rather be salt, that is a strong preservative that keeps judgment back. And until we are gone, then God will pour out his wrath according to as he sees fit. Amen and amen. This is my portion of the message. May the Lord bless you and touch you in every way.
Good morning. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Everybody agree? One guy, two, three. Wait. You haven't seen the last of it. Today, I have a revelation. How many of you like revelations? Do you believe them all? Well, this one's in the Bible. So, we're going to talk about it. There's a revelation of peace that a person gets when he becomes born again. You're at peace with yourself. You know you're going to heaven. You know that you're on the right track. And that has carried me throughout my life. Wasn't afraid of anything. I enjoyed life in the worst of times because I knew I had this incredible God that's going to take care of me. But there's another peace which I've never really experienced till I hit the hospital. Have you ever wondered when you read where they kill God's people and they go, like their stories, they go to be killed, singing in their hearts, rejoicing in God. There are those who just can't wait. When I woke up from my drama, or from my whatever situation I was in, I was at total peace. And I want to explain it to you a little bit. Isaiah chapter 26, 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in him. Who's going to keep me in perfect peace? Thou. Who's the thou? The Holy Ghost is the thou will keep Dave in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I was in the hospital, and I was so at peace. It was almost like I wanted to stay there because I had absolutely no worry. When they come to do operations, I would simply tell God, you're going to guide their hands. You're going to make sure they don't make a mistake. Guess what? He did. That was when I was out of the coma. Whatever operation, I had a few of them, they performed. One day they told me they found an ulcer, finally. And then he said, well, we'll have to cut you open. We'll have to extend one of your guts or intestines. At the very worst, you'll end up with a bag on the side. I said, oh no, that's not good. I know somebody who has one. So I said, Lord, you're not going to let them cut my body. And I was at perfect peace. No fear, no anxiety, completely at peace. When I came back from the operating table, the nurse said, where is this cut? There is no cut. God made sure, I said, they found the right way to fix it. Hallelujah. During this way, I had peace. I kid you not. When you come close to death, if you have God, God will keep you in perfect peace. It's even stronger than you can imagine. You don't care. You're simply oblivious to scare, to being scared. You know you're in the hands of God. There's such a sureness that you couldn't care less what happens here. You are at peace with God. I've read of martyrs. ISIS was killing Christians. They smiled as they cut off their heads. They smiled. Perfect peace. Knowing where they're going. Come not only knowing, but experiencing the perfect peace. It's not only knowing you have that peace. You experience it. One nurse said to me, you must be hiding something. There is no such a thing that you can have peace like you have. I've seen you go through 10 times worse stuff than many others. You were scared. You're at perfect peace. I said, that's my God. No, I think that's your willpower. My willpower, you know where that is? Where that was? Down the sewer. I had no willpower. I was faced with death. I was faced with being crippled for life. But I had perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect. He, you don't conjure it up. You don't try to say, oh, I'll have peace. No, he puts it there. He puts it there. It's like salvation. He puts it there. Thou will keep him. You, God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Then it goes on, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That's what it means. How many of us are anxious? Oh, we are. We're anxious over that, anxious over that. By the time we think God's in control of the situation, we've done a few cuss words, we've done a few worryings, now we think of God. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to help me. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's the key. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We got an awesome God. He'll keep us. I've often thought, what if I get into this dilemma? What if I get into this dilemma? In my heart, deep within my heart, I know that God will take care of you. He even takes care of you when you go to the toilet, so you make it on time. That's no kidding. Just think about it. He takes care of you when you go to the toilet, that you make it on time. God is a good God. Not only that, he makes sure that you are going to be his for the rest of eternity. If you study the Word of God, if you see the heart of God, you will know that you belong to God. God is a good God, and we, as Christians, should advertise that. Not just hope they'll hear us, but advertise. Talk to people about it. Because the time is coming, they will ask you for answers. And you better study your Bible to know the answers, to give them. Christians that have not studied the Bible, they'll be asked, how do I live? How do I do this? How do I do that? If you don't study the Bible, you will have no answer for them. So keep your peace. Work on it. Study to show thyself. You're approved of God. A workman that need not to be ashamed of yourself, because someday we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he will scrutinize every move, every thought we have. But by the grace of God, the blood of Christ will cover every last sin and iniquity. That's where we get a free pass, even though we might lose some crowns. So open your heart to this. Become a blessing to yourself. Study the Word. You will find out the joy, the peace that's there, that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Amen.
I will trust my Savior Jesus when my darkest doubts befall. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. I will trust my Savior Jesus. Trust him when my strength is small, for I know the shield of Jesus is the safest place of all. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust you more. Trust my Savior Jesus. He has said his way is best, and I know the path he's chosen leads to everlasting rest. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust you more and more. My heart be ever yours. Oh, on that cross, how it was seen, I can go now ever trusting in the one who died for me. What could I bring, for your gift is complete. So I'll trust you, simply trust you, Lord, with every part of me. Jesus, only Jesus, help me trust.